again, everybody. Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff here on Giants.com. As always, the number is 201-939-4513. On Twitter, it is hashtag Giants Chat. Joining me again today, my buddy Paulie Dotz, Paul Dottino. I am Russ Salzberg, and it's a little bit nippy. It looks like, actually, it's supposed to warm up, get warmer for the weekend, but they're going to be practicing inside for the first time, quite frankly, in a long time.
Yeah, no question, Russ. When I got up this morning, it was about 19 degrees. It's probably about 23 now for those of you who are not in the New York metropolitan area.
Right.
I know a lot of our viewers are from out of the area. There is some nasty Arctic cold front that has come in from Canada and just blitzed the Northeast, if you'll pardon the pun.
Listen to you with the Arctic cold front. What are you bucking for a weather? The Arctic cold front.
Come on, you know the what people at Fox. Give me some warm cashola over there. No extra work.
Scott, a little extra work. Yeah.
But here's the point, folks. It is going to get up to about 40, is what they say on kickoffs day on Sunday against Philly. So the Giants are in the field house today. Briefly to recap, just a couple of notes from practice. Justin Pugh is in California getting a second opinion from a doctor on his ailing back. The Giants really want to get to the bottom of this, Russ, and find out what's going on.
Well, I think they I'm sure they want to get to the bottom of it for two reasons. One, you want Justin healthy.
Yeah, he's missed a month.
Back. But healthy will also possibly lead to Justin being wealthy because free agent, I mean, you know, if you're going to put up that schedule, if you will. I mean, seriously. I mean, that's a question that has to be answered.
Healthy and wealthy, a happy player makes.
No, but I mean, that's a question that needs to be answered both for Justin and for the Giants. I mean, it's a big deal.
Yeah, there's no question about that. So Snacks Harrison's on the side. Wheeler is participating, at least in the early drills, does not have a red shirt on. So Chad Wheeler, I would think, is probably going to go through practice. All indications are that he will, so that's important because it will be that left side or the right side of the Giants' offensive line against the left side of the Eagles' defensive front that becomes a very difficult match for the Giants in Sunday's game. Very, very difficult match. That's where Brandon Graham is. that's nasty.
Right.
And also Landon Collins working on that ankle. Looks as though he was trying to do a little bit of something. He did some of the warming up, but then he didn't actually do a lot of the individual drills. So he is obviously very, very limited. But as he told Spags the other day, he wants to play against the Eagles.
Well, I mean, he's a gamer. I mean,
he is.
Of course he wants to play, and he's a tough kid. But everybody, including the young man himself, Landon, everybody needs to deal with some common sense here.
No question.
We don't need this turning into something chronic for him down the road. You know, you want him. Listen, I want to see him before the end of the season. But if Landon Collins has to sit out a game, I'd rather them be smart about the situation.
Most people don't even know, Russ. He's been nursing a badly sprained ankle for a long time now.
It's been a number of games. He's been banged up for a number of games, pretty much all season.
Yeah.
Like I said, he's a gamer. He's a tough guy. But, you know, everybody needs to be smart about this. But, listen, the Giants know what he means to them. They're going to be smart about it. Spags is going to be smart about it.
No doubt.
And I think Landon is going to be smart about it as well. Listen, it is Wednesday, so he can take it easy on the side and get himself ready. But what do you say we open up the phone lines right now? 201-939-4513. Again, on Twitter, it is hashtag Giants Chat. Let's go up to Maine and chat with Jason. Jason, you're on with Russ and Paulie Dotz. How are you today, Jace?
Hey, guys. Good. How about yourself?
Good. How you doing?
Pretty good. I just wanted to, bring up an issue I've been having the last couple of years. And it's about Eli Manning. I know there's been lots of talk of him declining and all those kind of things. I really don't think it's fair to him, though, because I think when all the declining talk, came out, it's basically been this year and it's been last year. And I just don't think the guy's had a lot of protection, a lot of time. And I don't know how many times I've seen perfect passes right in the hands of receivers, and they're dropping them or they're bouncing out of their hands. And I just want to know what you guys think about that. I mean, do you think it's kind of unfair to say that he's declining, that he's going downhill sort of, when the last 2 years, I think a lot of it's not on him?
Well, let's be fair on a couple of issues here. First, you're talking to these two guys, meaning me and Paulie. Paulie sitting next to me are probably leaders of the Eli Chamber of Commerce, so we're big fans of Jason. When you say, when you said the terminology in decline, I'll accept that to a point, as opposed to downhill. Downhill sounds like it's collapsing. You get to a certain stage, certain things change. I believe Eli can continue to play at a very high level. I mean, this year, besides the problem with the offensive line, he didn't have anybody to throw the ball to. Couldn't agree with you more about some drop balls. At the same time, and I know Paulie's going to agree with me on this, we have seen a few instances where Eli was off the mark. Mm-hmm. Significantly, I forget one game where it was a home run ball, completely missed him. This past week,
he had two in the first half that he just flat out missed.
I mean, it was Red Ellison was wide open.
Yeah,
could have been a huge game. But to say he can't compete at a high level, that he can't lead this team. To a championship or, division titles or something? No, I don't think that's – I think that would be going to the extreme.
I would tell you, caller, I keep my own chart of drop passes, and those are subjective. Okay, the coaches have their feeling on what a drop pass should be. I have my own. I've been watching the game a long time. I've got the Giants for 43 drop passes, which by anybody's count, ESPN's or anyone's other unofficial count, I have heard many times people saying around the league, the Giants do lead the league in drop passes. I'm giving you my number of 43. That's ridiculous.
No,
to be perfectly frank with you.
Listen, that's been an ongoing conversation here about drop passes. Listen, we love the kid, number 88, Evan Engram, but Engram has had a problem with drop passes.
I've got him for 12.
Okay.
That's okay. A lot. That's a lot.
So in answer to your question, I think some of the criticism of Eli has been unfair. And, this whole thing has blown up. The whole Eli from the time he was benched to back now. It's taken on – the Eli drama has taken on a life of its own.
Here's the dangerous part about that, too. 13 of those 43 drops that I have logged were first downs on either third or fourth down had the guys just held on to the ball. Now, those are drive killers.
Yeah, that's been the real – it's not so much a drop pass, but you never want to see a drop pass, I guess, to say, Jason, but if you're a coach, a drop pass in a crucial third down situation when it was right on the money and you had the third down, that's a killer. The Giants certainly this season, their margin of error is very, 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 very small. So when you don't take advantage of those opportunities, it bites you on the you-know-what.
No doubt.
All right?
Okay. Just one other thing for you. And, of course, I really hope Eli stays with us. I hope he does.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I would bet on it.
Okay. I'm just wondering, are we ever going to change, and maybe they can't do it, but are we ever going to change what an interception is? Because when you hit a guy right in the hands and it bounces out, it flies up in the air, someone else catches it, I don't know how that's an interception, I guess. So I'm wondering, do you guys think that will ever change? And I'll just take that off the air. Thanks, guys.
Okay, thank you, Jason. No, an interception's an interception. It means it's a turnover, like a fumble. And the guy who ends up gets it in his breadbasket or in his hands, that's his interception.
It's kind of like in baseball, Russ, where so many people say they wish there was a category for team errors. Because if three guys converge on a pop fly in shallow left field, and the third baseman, the shortstop, and the left fielder are all calling for it, and the ball drops, and it's like, well, is that really a hit or is it a team error? It'll never happen. But you know what I'm talking about. It seems unfair, but it's difficult to legislate.
It's the same thing. Don't get me started. We're doing a football show here, but don't get me started on ERAs, earned run averages, because you got nobody on, and a guy makes an error with two out, and then the pitcher blows up.
Right.
They're all unearned. Give me a break, all unearned.
I know. Stats can be very, very funny and very, very misleading.
Yeah, and, boy, they drive you crazy in football as well.
But you know what I would say? I would say this, to be fair, what I would like to see, I'm not saying that they should be subtracted from a quarterback's stat total, but what I would say is I wouldn't mind seeing another category on the chart that says the guy's got 15 interceptions, and then another category, a subcategory almost, like another column on the chart that says, I don't want to say receiver fault, but something that says deflected interception.
Well,
I would like to see that.
But you know.
I know. What's deflected?
We're also getting into a situation where, okay, so you see the quarterback piling up yards. He throws a slant from his 5-yard line,
right,
and a guy goes.
Goes for 90 yards. And he gets credit
for
passing yards.
Yard touchdown. So, you can't have it both ways.
A few years ago, Russ, when Eli had, I think it was like 20 picks, 22 picks, whatever it was, a few years back. And I had done the film study, and I checked with the coaches on these things, so I know this is real. Reuben Randall had been targeted on 9 of Eli's, 22 interceptions that year, and had either run the wrong route or had the ball bounce off his hands and get picked off. So he was the primary responsible man or the culprit on like 9 of Eli's 22 picks. And it's a shame because Eli was getting piled on for all those picks, but the receiver was really the guy who was forcing them.
But, you know, how many times have we heard, you're laying it out there for us, how many times have we heard the coaches say it's not just, you know, cut and dry what you think. There's a reason for this to collapse, for that to collapse. How was the protection?
That's why stats are not a perfect science.
No, they'll never be. It never, ever will be. And football seems to be overloading now on all broadcasts with really, like, ridiculous stats. There's a stat for everything. But when you think about it, you just sit there, okay, is it a receiver's fault? Was the offensive line doing its job? I mean, did the running back pick up the block? We can go on and on and on. But right now, we're going to go to Staten Island and speak with Pete. Pete, you're on with Russ and Paulie. How you doing today?
How are you, Russ? How you doing, Paulie?
Hello.
Russ, formerly from Brooklyn, by the way.
Where in Brooklyn, pal?
Sheepshead Bay.
Oh, so am I. Where in Sheepshead Bay?
Betshelder between Shore and Emmons.
Okay, you want to know what? I lived on Betshelder and Avenue V, and then we moved from the projects there uptown because my grandmother had to move in with us, and then we moved to Nostrand Avenue between X and W because we needed a 3-bedroom suite in the projects.
I grew up in the projects across the street on Avenue X, 31. Right across from the high school, Russ.
There you go.
That was my first as a baby. Absolutely. All right, anyway, I called in last week. If you remember, Russ, we were talking about the Giant Way. Remember, I was talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers, the way they're built right now.
Right.
And I'd like to see the Giants go back to what the Giant Way is, and what I meant by that was our identity. We lost our identity, like, over the last 4 or 5 years. Paulie, I know you love building from the ground up, the line, the
trenches,
smash mouth, the getting back to what our identity was. And, you know, we've gone into, over the last 4 or 5 years, we've gone into where we lost that kind of identity, where we went to what now I like to call the flying trapeze act of the NFL. You know, throw first, and 3 yards in a cloud of dust, you know, as far as that goes. But the Giant identity has never been that way. And you, Paulie, I know you love that, you know, guys like Jumbo Elliott and the offensive line and these big guys.
Sure.
You know, because – and you know what? You know what? I heard you yesterday talk about trading this pick. I agree with that 1,000% because you got to build from the inside out. And the other thing is Odell Beckham, all right? And I'm going to bring this up, and, you know what? If we can get, quite frankly, a one and a two,
right,
for Odell, I would do it in a minute.
You would?
In a minute. We never, you know what? How many championships have we won with him?
Well,
zero.
Oh, hold on a second, Pete. You were making all kinds of sense up until this point. We're talking about a guy. I mean, for some reason, and we know Odell can be this and that. For some reason, let's not make him out to be public enemy number one. And number two, the guy is arguably the most explosive player in the league.
I can't deny that. I can't deny that.
Hold on a second, Pete.
Just thinking along the lines of picks. You know what? When we won our four championships, name one Odell Beckham Jr. that we had on the team. Name one. Can you?
The wide receiver position, as far as the Giants' championship runs was concerned, was never a premier position, other than the year in 2007 when they had Toomer and Plexico Burress wide out.
But it was always a team concept, always an identity concept. We always had that build from within with a team concept involved. And I think my question is, with the new general manager coming in, right? And John, I hope you're listening, Mr. Mara. Would John have the input with the new general manager, let's say, to say to him, listen, I want to get the Giant identity back, not this flying trapeze act.
Well, Pete, yes. Listen to me, my friend. First of all, everybody has a game plan, and this goes for John Mara. Let him rest in peace. It went for his dad, Wellington Mara. And thanks, Pete, as always, for the call.
Thank you, guys. Love you.
Love you, too. But listen, you're not bringing in a GM and a coach. And if that's going to be the case, you're going to tell them how you want it constructed. Then you know what? Then you might as well be the general manager.
That's what Jerry Jones does.
Well, okay.
He does.
Yeah, well, you can agree with that.
I'm not saying I do. I'm just saying there are guys who do it. That's not the way the Giants do it.
That's not the talking about Pete, what Pete just said, the Giants way and the line and then the trenches. Yeah, but the Giants way is also allowing people to do what they do, to do their job. So much to a point that sometimes things happen that – and that's what a good owner, quite frankly, you know, as fans – and members of the media, you and us, we might not like it, but that's what good ownership and good management does. They're able to stick to their guns. Listen, George Young, you know, whether you liked it or not, and I certainly didn't like it, and Paulie didn't like it either. When George Young said goodbye and to Phil Sims, that was a killer for Wellington Mara, an absolute killer. Killer. Mm-hmm. And the decision was made, and because Wellington had faith in George Young, that's what happened.
Hate to say it, but George Young was right, because Phil never threw another pass in the league again.
No. And those are the hard decisions, but you have to allow your guys, whether you or I like it or not, you got to allow people. If you're hiring them to reconstruct the team or to build the team, and that's why they brought in George Young, then you got to allow them to do it.
I think, to be fair, Russ, what the caller may be referring to, Pete, I think what Pete's talking about is the basic framework of how the Giants do business and what their systems are in place in terms of acquiring, you know, talent, getting draft picks, using their scouting system, using the player profiles, using the certain rationale to draft certain guys. I think that's what he's talking about. I don't think he's talking about having puppets as a GM or coach.
I don't think so. The reason we got to this discussion was talking about getting rid of Odell Beckham Jr. I mean,
yeah.
When you talk, why did we get to the point of there was no, yeah, you're right, there was no Odells on those other teams. I mean, because as great as some of those other players were, none of them were Odell. I mean, the guy's an extraordinary talent. Doesn't come along all the time. Certainly not often. You know, has he made mistakes? Yeah, but, I mean, let me tell you, Odell Beckham's up for grabs, no pun intended. You're going to be a whole lineup at the door to try and grab him. You think people were interested in Giancarlo Stanton? There'd be plenty of people interested in Odell Beckham.
See, now you crossed over to baseball.
Yeah, there you go.
I wouldn't trade him. Bottom line is, Odell would have to do a lot more negative things for me to say that I would not want him around here. And he hasn't reached that point for me yet.
Not even close to it. And remember something else. And we all thought that. Paulie, you and I sat here at the very beginning of the season going into the very first game. Having Odell, the healthy Odell out there, not just what he brings you with his talent and his ability to turn a game around and make a great play, but because he's out there, it opens things up for everybody else, from a running game to the other receivers as well. It's just that this was the season that what could go wrong did go wrong.
Now,
it just is.
To be fair to the caller, okay, there can be a breaking point or a tipping point with any player, no matter how terrific they are. Jeremy Shockey is an example,
right,
Russ,
okay,
where the player can become so much of a problem, he can push it to such a degree that eventually you do have to say he goes.
Could not agree with you more.
Shockey was the best example of that.
Right.
A terrific player for this franchise.
Without question.
And he loved the Mara and the Tisch families. But there were issues there that they finally could not deal with, and Shockey had to be dealt to New Orleans. But that's a rare situation, and we're not nearly there.
And you're also in that locker room every day, as I am. You see the interaction with the players and Odell. They love Odell.
Yeah, I don't sense. There's a put off
there.
They
like him as a person, but they have the utmost respect for him because nobody on the team, we've said this time and time again, and nobody on a team will tell you anything different. Nobody works harder than Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah, he's right at the top of the list. And by the way, we couldn't say that about Shockey, Russ. You and I both know.
Bingo. That's a completely different piece.
Guys in the locker room, there were a bunch of them who under their breath were like, oh, that's Shockey again? Oh, man.
Here we go with this guy again.
The there are a lot of teammates who did not really have a great deal of love for that guy.
All right. What do you say we go to Maryland and speak to our good buddy, Len? Len, how are we doing today, my friend? You're on with Russ and Paulie.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi.
I'm doing okay. You know, three games left, two at home. That's the good news. Two in the division. Going to watch every play, but, oh, man, I can't wait till this season's over.
Well, I think it's been long for everybody, all parties concerned.
I got a good one for you, Len. Just think of it this way. The Giants are only three games away from being 500 again.
Yeah, there you go. that's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah, well, okay. Well, it's always fun. Seeing Giants football is always, it's always fun. You know, you guys were talking about the wide receiver. First of all, let me say something about Beckham. If Mr. Mara and Mr. Tisch said to the new general manager, look, don't even come to me and talk to me about trading Odell Beckham or releasing Eli Manning, it wouldn't bother me in the least. I would not consider that to be tampering at all by the owner of the, of the business. That franchise probably conservatively on the open market, given New York, and then the brand name, the Giants. It's probably $5 billion on the open market if anybody could come up with that kind of money. And these guys aren't going to go hide on some South Sea Island for 11 months of the year. and not get involved in the football operation of the business. So, you know, if they have a couple of favorites, it's okay with me, and those are two pretty good ones to have. I mean, you can't. I mean, you know, Beckham is just, he's, you know, we keep throwing the word generational player. He's almost beyond that. I mean, the guy is just, he's a, you know, great player. Listen, I want to talk about the wide receivers for a second. If there's one position where we've gotten really, really beaten up, and it's been a wide receiver. I mean, if you go back to that first 90-man roster on the first day of training camp, guys, and then begin to calculate how many wide receivers have been on and off this roster. Now, some of them were cut and are gone, but
sure.
After the injuries, I mean, even this week, we just brought a new guy in yesterday, for God's sake.
I know. You know what, Len? Somebody tweeted me yesterday. They wanted to know how many different guys have worn a Giants uniform this year and been on the active 53. Now, I didn't count it up yet, Russ, because I actually tweeted him back. It would take me 3 years to add them all up.
I'll bet it's you know, Paulie, I'll bet it's about 65 different guys.
Oh, I think it's more than that.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about from the starter, from, you know, on the 53.
Yeah, I bet you it's more than that.
Okay, you think it's more than that.
I do.
I thought 65 might. I think 65 is about it. But I'll go with, you know, if anybody wanted to calculate it.
I will count it up. I'll get it out on Twitter.
On the wide receivers thing, I'll bet there's been 16, 17 different wide receivers. I mean, how many since the season? I mean, we had six guys at the beginning, and we've had six different wide receivers come in since the season started, including one yesterday.
I'd also like to know how many wide receivers went down with an ankle or a foot injury. I mean, who was the kid this past week at Powell?
Darius Powell.
Yeah. Darius Powell.
I mean, he played one game and, you know, one –
it's amazing.
Game as a member of the 53, and I mean the guy gets hurt.
I know.
You know they have a. You know what's interesting? They have a guy on that practice squad, and they probably don't think very much of him. It's obvious because we've brought in four or five wide receivers from outside or off the practice or off the practice guard. A pretty big guy, Marquise Bundy. Mm-hmm. The Giants signed him right at the end of the preseason because we had all the injuries.
Yep.
And then signed him to the practice squad. Bundy's got good size. He's 6'4". I mean, our guys are really small. I thought we'd have, you know, one bigger guy. I've had my eye on Bundy since the season started. But obviously the Giants don't think very much of him in terms of putting him on the 53.
Slow down a second, buddy. You know, when they say they did have a very large wide receiver in Brandon Marshall, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, Brandon Marshall, yeah. But I thought maybe they would try to get somebody who, you know, was about the same size as Brandon, especially with all the injuries that have taken place.
Well, you know, the only answer I could have for you, Len, and I'm strictly guessing here because I haven't actually asked anybody about Bundy. You're right, he's a 6'4", 215-pound guy, second year out of New Mexico. I get it. Was with the Cardinals last year.
Yeah.
The only thing I might say is that when they kept replacing these wide receivers on the depth chart, they were going for smallish guys because those guys were being used on special teams on kick return duty. And you usually don't see a 6'4" wide receiver back there on kick return duty because that's not their forte. They're not quick. Those guys have their long striders. Right. They don't work well on special teams.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely, Paul. Absolutely. Here's – I wanted to ask you a question. I know we're probably going to hire the general manager first, but I want to talk
about
the coaching
vacancy. Not probably you will hire the general manager first.
Yes.
That's for sure.
Let me say something about the coaching vacancy, just in terms – and it's really a question for you guys that maybe we can both try to answer. What are we looking for? I mean, if you put an ad in the paper for the coach of the New York Giants, what would you say in the ad? Who are you – I'd like to apply, but they're not going to pick me for obvious reasons. Or
right.
Paulie, they're not going to pick you. Who are they? What kind of guy? Does the guy have to have pro experience?
My gut feeling is there is no inside information here at all.
Yeah, I know.
My gut feeling is the guy who comes in will definitely have pro experience, and I will.
Okay.
I do believe he will be a former. Or a head coach. I do believe that. That's not to say a guy can't be an assistant, but I don't see a college guy coming in and getting the job. And listen, stranger things have happened.
Let me just add one thing there, just to get your follow up on your idea, because I think it's a good one. Do you think it would have to be a coordinator level guy in the NFL? I mean, are we looking for a coordinator or former head coach? Is that about?
Well, if the guy is a former head coach, that either means his last job was as a head coach, he had been a head coach at one point, had then taken a coordinator's job, because usually head coaches, they leave a job, they might have to take a step down to coordinator, but a lot of times they won't go too far down the chain before they come back to being a head coach again. So that makes a lot of sense what you're saying, just because that's the normal progression.
Yeah, I would think that they would have to have that some sort of experience at that at that level. And if it was as a head coach, that's fine too. But at least coordinator at the pro level, I think is going to probably be something.
There's any question about that, Len.
Yeah, let me just say one more thing. Here's my, the more I watch the team, the more I think about this, and how do we rebuild this? How do we turn this around, and so forth. Here's my idea, and I'm going to use a baseball analogy. Mm-hmm. Strength up the middle, the offensive side. Strength up the middle. I want a center who's going to anchor that offensive line for 6, 7, 8 years. Now, it's not going to come in this order, but I want a center who's going to anchor. Right? I don't think he's on the roster. A quarterback. Right behind the center.
I don't know, Lenny, and always my friend. Thank you for the call. I don't know that I agree with that. I mean, if you want to talk about one of the bright spots on the team this year,
he's been good.
Paul and I have said it all season long. Brett Jones has been arguably the brightest spot on a team. If you want to talk going into a difficult situation, he's been an anchor. And listen, we when you're not here, I'm sitting next to David, and boy, is he high on Brett Jones. So I don't know. That's a shot that I would have to disagree with you, Len. I just think, can you always improve? Yeah, but if you ask me what's a troublesome spot on this team, I would say to you, with Brett Jones at center, that is not a troublesome spot. Would you concur?
I'm with you on that one, Russ.
I don't get.
He is a bit undersized. We've talked about how against certain 3-4 defenses, when there's a gigantic nose tackle opposite him, that is going to be a matchup problem. But those things are only going to happen on a handful of occasions throughout the course of the season. The bottom line is Brett Jones is a young fella coming into his prime. Okay, and he gives the coaches 150% on every single snap. They can't say enough about his effort, his smarts, his attitude.
The whole package.
This is a guy you really, if you want to talk about trying to replace a bunch of parts on this Giants roster, that is not really a priority, at least not for me.
No, I'm kind of surprised, because Len's pretty up on what's going on.
And Len, you should remember now, okay? Bartoch was an undersized center in his day. Sean O'Hara was an undersized center in his day. It's not like you can't win with an undersized center. It's all about what's that line made up of. It's not just the one spot.
Listen, Brett Jones, without question, has been their most consistent, best offensive lineman.
That's true. This year? That's true.
This year.
That's true.
No,
Flowers has gotten better. Pugh's had a bunch of games lost because of injury.
No, but Brett Jones.
So Brett Jones is the guy.
Consistently and solid play has to be Brett Jones. Let's go up to Maine again. And again, folks, the number is 201-939-4513. On Twitter, it is hashtag Giants Chat. Again, we go up to Maine and chat with Charlie. Charlie. You're on with Russ and Paulie.
Hey, Russ. Hey, Paul.
What's going on?
Hey, I've got a head coach possibility that I think would be perfect for the Giants job. Maybe nobody's thinking about him, but he is he's either an offense coordinator or he's just a line coach.
But
I think Russ Grimm would be the dude we need to bring in. He knows what an offensive line is supposed to be. Look what he's done in for the Titans and what he did for Arizona when he was with them. I think he would be the perfect guy. He'd bring in tough players. He'd bring in players that can run block, would be running the ball, and I think he'd be a great head coach for us.
Wow.
Well, but when you say he'd be a great head coach, if you're talking about the line is one thing. And I'm not – I don't want to disparage Russ Grimm, but what makes you so sure that he'd be a great head coach?
He's been in the – he's been a great player. He's been, he's been a coordinator, but he's been in football.
That's not
for years.
Charlie, that's – you're not giving me a good enough reason to say.
I think he's a leader of men, and I think he would. You know, what happened when we got rid of Ray Hanley? We brought in a Dan Reeves. We brought in a guy who was no nonsense, a veteran guy, and you know, that's what we're going to do again. We're not going to bring in another head, and somebody like a young person like we did with McAdoo and fly with this. So I think we're going for somebody like that. And Russ Grimm, to me, is a guy that deserves to be a head coach in this league. He has done a lot, and he would bring something so powerful to this offense. And talking about bringing back the giant way, that dude would bring back the giant way.
Charlie, I don't think it's a ridiculous name. Okay, let me make that clear. I don't think it's a ridiculous name, but because he has actually been, as I'm looking into his bio now, he's been up for a couple of opportunities to be a head coach. He's been considered. He's been on interviews. So it's not a ridiculous name, and I couldn't agree with you more about how he would build the trenches and how he's disciplined and how he certainly knows the NFC East as well as anybody could. So I don't think you're out of line with the name. My problem is he has not been a head coach at any level at all since he retired as a player. Not in college, not in high school, nowhere. And to be honest, again, that was part of the problem, I thought, with Ben McAdoo, is that he had never been a head coach at any level before. And some of these things, as they started to collapse around him, he really wasn't in tune to how to fix them. And I think the Giants are in a position where they need a guy who has at least been a head coach at some level somewhere before. Whether or not he was in the last 5 years, who knows? But you need to be in that chair to understand all the different things that can happen to you. And for that reason, I would say no to Russ Grimm. But if you said, would you at least talk to him? I probably wouldn't mind talking to him.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, this guy's he's an older vet. He's been,
yeah, I hear you. I hear
you. I'm saying he's seen all this stuff. Even like McAdoo, who was just there for
I understand. Well, it's a different chair, though. Well,
but he didn't, you know.
What did Parcells tell you?
Well, listen.
Tell him.
And I could remember sitting with him, Bill Parcells, and we were talking about it. And I looked at him and I said, Bill, you're the guy who gave Ray Hanley your stamp of approval, and Bill would not have done that if he didn't believe in Ray Hanley. But he said to me, I said, well, this is after it all went south. I said, how did you come to approve him? And he looked at me and said, you never know. The guy can be the best assistant in the world. The best assistant in the world. You never know how he's going to be as a head coach until he becomes a head coach. You just don't know. And some guys – let me tell you something. And, Charlie, you certainly sound like a guy – if you're going to come up with a name like Russ Grimm, we know that football know what you're talking about. North Turner,
yeah.
I mean, one of the premier – fair to say, offensive coordinators?
No question.
Not. There is no argument, none whatsoever. Whatever the case, when it comes to being a head coach, ain't getting it done.
Joe Alden was a terrific coordinator.
Outstanding. When I think about, and I remember the day they booed him, it was his last game, which was one of the most ugliest things I'd ever seen, his last game as a Jets head coach. People were thrilled. Oh, this, his mind, his this. They were thrilled for him to become the head coach. So he was the head coach. And then everybody, was mocking him. You know, it just, you just don't know. And that's not to say, like you say, sometimes everybody needs that chance. I just think there's also the factor here as well, Charlie, that you get a situation that the Giants are in now, 2-11. You get that situation, you really need, to me, an experienced head man to get it correct. And when I say who has been a head man.
I give you one more great example. Joe Bugel was an outstanding assistant coach.
Yep.
And failed with the Cardinals and the Raiders as a head coach miserably, And I don't think the Giants at this stage of where they are, Charlie, trying to maybe make another run in the next 2-year window, especially with Eli and some of the other guys that they have under heavy contracts, they're not in a position to gamble on some guy and say, oh, this is your first head coaching job. We'll take a gamble with you. Everybody's got to get that first head coaching job somewhere, and I understand that. But this is not the place and the time to gamble.
Not in light of the type of season that the Giants are having. It'd be very, very difficult. They need a guy who's going to come in and get this ship turned around in the right direction. And, you're coming off a mess. At 2-11, we can all agree it's been a mess. So it's not just giving a guy a chance and let's see what he's got. We need some fixing, some serious fixing here. It's got to be addressed. And I think an experienced guy needs to be the one to do that. And Jersey City now Alex, did you put the name up as, is that Stanky or Stanley?
Stanky.
Okay, Stanky, are you there, buddy?
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Okay, just wasn't
Hello.
Sure. I thought it might have been a typo, pal.
No, that's my nickname that my parents gave me, but that's no
All
business.
Right, Stanky. Stanky's better than Stinky, so we like
that. Yeah, definitely better than Stinky, let me tell you. No, guys, I was just agreeing with, 90% of what you guys are talking about, especially with the gentleman that called up talking about our center, Jones. The guy's just been a horse again. I agree with you guys. He's been there for us. My personal opinion, everything on the line needs to be addressed. The running backs need to be addressed. I remember when we used to have Bradshaw and Jacobs back there.
Yeah.
Giants always had a strong, heavy running back. Somebody that can drill you in your mouth and another one that can just lights out, just run right past you. We haven't had that.
Stanky,
do you
remember in the offseason when I said many times on these airwaves that LeGarrette Blount would have been a real good fit for this team?
Oh, my God. Dude, when he walked in the building and we let him walk out of the building and then he went to Philly and ran all over us, that was ridiculous. That was not just a shove in the face, but that was just an embarrassment to let this guy go out of there. My personal opinion, you know what I mean? And to my other point, basically, are we going to get any receivers that are going to help Eli Manning?
Well,
because even when we had Marshall and we had Beckham, the guys weren't catching a ball worth of crap.
Well, Stank, do me a favor. Before we continue, is that a radio or TV on in the background? We're hearing?
Oh, I'm walking back and forth. I'm sorry.
Well, you're walking back and forth. I'm going to need a Dramamine pill. I'm going to get car sick from using so much motion for crying out loud. All right. But listen to me a second. Yeah. When you say, first of all, let's not. We know a lot of the receivers have drop balls. They brought in Brandon Marshall. He got off to a lousy start and broke his ankle, okay? You had Sterling get hurt. Let's not talk. Yes, has Odell dropped the ball now and then? Yes, he has. But he's also caught balls that nobody else is going to catch. So let's not go in crazy places here when it comes to that, Stank. And you know what? Why we have you on, since you talk about blocking and running backs, and Paulie, it's completely – I'm just sitting here trying to remember his name. Who was a fullback on a Super Bowl 25 championship team?
The 25 team.
Maurice Carthon. Maurice
was there for both.
Okay, yeah, Maurice Carthon. And I remember – Parcells used to tell us a story when we bring in this guy in, or I'm going to put this guy in, and Carthen used to go, yeah, who going to block? Yeah, who going to block? Am I right? Is that a billism? Who going to block?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. Seriously, we definitely need to get back to old-fashioned Giants football, running the ball, our defense still playing lights out. We need a power runner. We have good running backs. Don't get me messed up as far as saying we don't have good running backs. We just need that power horse that can literally just truck you like no other.
Well, you also need on defense, since we're talking about power. You don't hear the term used, but I think you know what I'm talking about. We need some power linebackers too.
Oh yeah. Well, you know. You can't get Banks and LT out of retirement anytime soon.
Oh, we've tried.
No, no.
Yeah. Antonio Pierce is done. So.
We've tried that one, too. He's on the coaching staff.
But and I can agree to that, too. We definitely need some linebackers that can run. Definitely get in there, stop the run as well, and at least get a linebacker that can cover.
You know, I would say this, Stanky, this is one of the reasons why Russ and I are so animate about making a deal with that top pick, because as you've outlined, the Giants need to fill some holes on both sides of the ball with these power, strong, forceful kinds of players. And the best way to get those kinds of guys is to have a whole shopping cart full of picks. Because, you know, by drafting a franchise quarterback in the top five, you're probably going to lose out a chance to get a bunch of these guys.
And you know what, Joe? My personal opinion, I 100% agree with you at the fact that, and again, my opinion, Eli has at least three more years. You give him a line that he can sit there and do what he does best, because he is a great quarterback, okay? But that goes for anybody in the league. If you don't have the time to throw the ball, or the receivers, when you are throwing the ball, catching it, you're going to have a difficult time winning a game.
Well, if you're a pocket passer, you need the protection up front. And obviously, one of Eli's greatest strengths, and Russ, we've been talking about this since he became a star in this league, what a great play-action passer. We heard that a thousand times. Well, you can't do that
if you're not running
the ball.
Right.
You have no run game, so you can't do that for the guy.
Okay, so
you know what I mean?
So
ridiculous.
The Giants roster has crumbled in the areas around Eli that needed to be solid for him to do his magic.
Yep,
that's really what's happened here.
You know,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, Stanky. Look, I don't think it goes without saying that they brought in. You know, you had Odell at the beginning of the season. You had Brandon Marshall. You drafted Evan Engram. You had Sterling Shepard.
I mean, great players.
To a man, woman, child, everybody who was a Giants fan was enthused about the prospects of. You remember, like when it was Air Coryell. Well, this was going to be Air Manning.
Well, we were supposed to see that when Cruz and Beckham were going to get on the field together, and then Victor got hurt about five games into
season. That's exactly right. So the point being, once all your receivers were down, like when you, Paulie and I sat here, and I thought a guy who was going under the radar at the beginning of the season. When I say under the radar, like keys to the team's success.
Right.
I really liked, and I still do like him, Paul Perkins at running back. But when you don't, all of a sudden, you had no wide receivers. So, you know, if that
then
whole,
he got hurt.
If that whole complement of wide receivers had stayed in there,
yeah.
then it opens up. You know, we always say the knee bone's connected to the shin bone.
Absolutely. I totally 100% agree, and I also agree with you with the Perkins being our running back. He's a great guy to run very, very hard. But to the beginning of the conversation, and you guys agreed to it, we definitely need that hit-you-in-the-mouth type running back as well to complement him.
There's no question.
Yes.
You know, Stanky, I would say one thing, and obviously you understand better than some of our other callers have. I say it all the time. Football is a spider web, okay?
Yeah.
It is a domino effect kind of game. You can't isolate just one part of the game. and say, okay, that's broken, and if we just fix that, everything else is okay. No.
It doesn't
because
work that way.
Everything fits into
really
the
doesn't.
Other
I'm sorry.
Piece.
You know what I mean? And for
exactly.
those who don't understand that, you're going to have a hard time watching football for the rest of your life
and
because
it's,
that's just what it is.
It's those people who don't understand that want to draft the quarterback with the second pick.
Come on. Listen. All right. No problem. We draft the quarterback in the second round pick, and then what?
Exactly.
You still have to address the linebackers. You still have to address the offensive line. What? You still have to address the fact that, okay, Marshall might be going out. Beckham's coming up with a deal. You still have all these. You have so many other little things that need to be tweaked in to just sit there and say, oh, well, we need a new quarterback. Oh, no, we need a new GM. Oh, no, we need a new coach. Listen, everything gets flip-flopped, and everything needs to be switched around to get back to Giants football. We diverted from that. My personal opinion, since we've gotten McAdoo as far as an offense coordinator, well, I hate the fact that we got rid of Tom.
Kevin Gilbride was a heck of an offensive coordinator, by the way, and I'm still friends
him.
With him. I'm going to make this real simple for you, Stanky, and Russ, you're going to appreciate this because it's one of my great Italian food analogies, okay? You're trying to make that pot of sauce for the ravioli, right?
Oh, and
you got the best tomatoes that you could possibly get at the market. But if you don't have the onion powder and you don't have the oregano and all the other stuff that goes in it, guess what? The sauce doesn't come out
sauce.
Too good.
What time's lunch? You just made me hungry.
You get sour sauce, I tell you that.
That's
much.
Exactly right.
All right.
You get sour sauce. One more thing before I let you guys go. All I want to say, listen to you Giants fans out there, stay with your team. Stop complaining so damn much. Let's just go with the punches. We got to roll with the punches for everybody out there. Eli, keep your head up. Hopefully, we work these picks. I'm hoping that they turn around and just go, hey, do anybody want any of these picks? I'll take 10, 30 picks just for this one.
Thanks, Stanky.
I'm being sarcastic, but at the same time, let's be realistic.
All right,
Stank.
Got to go, buddy. Thank you very much, Stank.
You got it, guys. Have a good one.
You take it easy. He'll take 30 picks.
I love his enthusiasm. I love the fact that he understands all the different concepts involved. And, it's a good call.
But really, I mean, you've been talking about it and we've been talking about it. The more even the callers call in, the more I want the pick traded.
I know. And the more that they're agreeing with us, too, which is good.
Yeah, I just.
Hey, unless there's something else that the Giants know that is behind door number two that totally changes this entire picture, which could be.
Yeah, we don't.
Which
don't
could
know
be.
That. That's always a
the
caveat.
Logical progression as we see it is the way that we've described it. Russ, I do want to just mention the Toys for Tots
again,
please.
Very important.
I know we're running out of time.
No. You got time. You got time.
Coming up Sunday, the Giants are playing Philadelphia here at MetLife Stadium. 1 o'clock kickoff. The U.S. Marine Corps is going to be outside at the gates. So please, if you've got any unwrapped new toys, even if you can run to the store and get something, real quick, bring it to the stadium, bring it to the gates, track down those U.S. Marine Corps guys because they're going to be collecting these unwrapped new toys and they're going to distribute them to young children.
Are they at all
the gates? They just said that they're going to be around at the gates.
Okay.
So if you see one of those guys, I'm sure they can direct you
without
to the
question.
Appropriate gate to where the receptacles will be. And remember, these are the holidays where every child deserves to open up a gift and a present. If you can possibly do so, please try to help out and see if we can give those kids reasons to smile.
No, that's – football aside, you want the kids, all the kids, especially at holiday time, to have themselves a good holiday. We're getting ready to wrap things up. If somebody wants to give us a quick call, we can make it fast, 201-939-4513.
Here's Eddie C. has a Twitter comment for us, Russ. He wants to tell everybody that Odell Beckham Jr. makes catches that no one else can. At least once a week in the NFL, someone is making a circus catch. Just look at what Evan Ingram did 2 weeks ago. He's saying that the value of those spectacular catches, you just can't put a price on.
Well, he makes enough of them. Let's. Joe is back from Pennsylvania. Joe, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, this is Joe from Pennsylvania, but it's a different Joe.
Oh, it's a different Joe.
Okay.
Oh, this I thought maybe it was Joe from Kokomo. Okay, Joe.
No.
All right, buddy.
Joe.
Hi.
But anyways, I want to see Eli on the bench for the rest of the year because there's no point of him being in there. I'd like to see what Davis Webb has against the Eagles, Washington, and Cardinals defense to see what he can do. And, you know, basically save Eli for next year, whether he's on the bench, whether he's in a trade, whether we keep him, you know, who knows.
Well, that's not going to happen. Joe, that's not going to happen. Eli's not going to be on the bench for the rest of the year. So.
All right, yeah, that's just me. I want to see what Webb has. I don't want to wait till next year to see what he does.
And, Joe, let me make sure I understand your point correctly. You'd like to see Davis Webb. You also probably don't want to see Eli get hurt. But it's your intention for Eli to start for the Giants in 2018? Is that still what you're thinking?
Oh, I'd love to keep Eli if we
can. All right, I'm just checking.
I'm
just checking.
Now, listen, and Paul and I have discussed this a lot by ourselves off camera, that we think, for whatever reason, and to me it's hard, you still need, if you will, live bullets being shot at you. So Joe,
yeah, but he's got Ingram. I'm going to see him with Ingram, another young player that he can develop with.
But the thing is, they seem to be very confident. And Joe, thank you for the call because we got to get ready to wrap things up.
Go back to 3-4 defense, too.
Well,
all right, bye.
Okay. But before we get to the 3-4 defense, you talk about Davis Webb. You were talking about it yesterday. They seem to have a very good feel of what they've seen from him in practice. Now, that's up to the expertise of the coaching staff. They seem to have a very good feel, and when you hear them always talk about Davis, they're confident. And listen, I hate even to bring it up, but the whole schlamazzle with the whole Eli thing with the benching, if Davis Webb would have been the guy to be put in instead of Geno, that would have been less of an uproar, but there still would have been an uproar.
There
you can
been.
Bet your bottom dollar because it would have been, well, how can you do this to break the streak? There still would have been an uproar, but Davis Webb would have been less of an uproar. Having said that, for whatever, they just seem to know they have a good feel that they understand what he can do. I think if they weren't, there'd be a far greater concern for drafting a quarterback, which maybe they're thinking that. You and I don't think so.
Again, let's make two things clear. To this point, Davis Webb has not been elevated to number two at practice yet.
Right.
And until that happens, he's probably not going to be number two in a game. That's first. Second thing is, if you really wanted to throw him into a game this week against that Philadelphia Eagles defense, it would be a very punishing debut for that poor rookie because given the lack of weaponry that he has to operate with, the Eagles would be licking their chops for four quarters with their complex defensive schemes, with their very talented, physical, tough, and you know, steel cage kind of defense that they play. I mean, they punch you in the mouth. They would have no mercy on Davis Webb, and it would be a very difficult task. You would not learn much about Davis Webb other than what color is his blood by the time the fourth quarter came around.
No, listen, without question, there's a great deal of confidence in the guy. And again, we've discussed this all season long, too. They put Davis Webb's locker right next to Eli's.
For a reason.
Since I'm here, I've never seen the quarterback's lockers next to one another.
Well, David Carr was over there, too. Rosenfels. They were a bunch of guys who were over there over time. But these two guys are like peas in a pod.
And when you see them in the building, it's the same thing as well.
They eat lunch together.
I mean, you know, if they want to do a documentary on the two of them, it could be me and my shadow because that's what it's been.
It'd be interesting to show people.
This season, yeah, it would be. But anyway, folks, listen, that is a wrap on today for Paulie Dottino, Paulie Dots. I am Russ Salzberg. Thanks for being part of Big Blue Kickoff here on Giants.com. The number is always for you to call, 201-939-4513. On Twitter, it is #GiantsChat. We will see you next time.